ladies and gentlemen. Hey, boys and girls. No, no boys and girls. Grown adults and grown adults. Today, at the African Exilist, I'm really, really excited. Like a little kid, you can tell I'm sweaty. I am privileged to have one of Africa's most prolific Afro-pop, Afro-beat, Afro-everything, Afro-centric, Afro-beauty. Today, I have a queen all the way from East Africa. This is a native of Washington State. If you're out there, don't ever forget.
We know the code.
Born and raised. And I am really happy after 9 years of trying to send a DM, but my internet keeps blocking.
Oh my God, finally
got to meet you, and I'm happy that you're sitting here with us and you're ready to share your story with us. Thank you, Naomi. Ladies and gentlemen, Naomi Wamboy!
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you.
How have you been?
I've been well.
Yes, your week was good?
It was pretty good.
I'm sorry, that drive is bad, but don't worry. You're fixing it. Hey, Naomi. For people who don't know you, who's Naomi? And tell us a little bit of who Naomi was before I met the Naomi I met. Please, in a few words. Just a few words.
In a few words. The Naomi back then, I was an artist. At the end of the day, I'll always be an artist. Mm-hmm. But she was worried about what other people thought.
She was kind of insecure because...
Mm-hmm. The things that went on in the industry didn't support her true self.
Oh, you feel me? Yes. And you wanted to bring some different
flavor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they wanted me to do something else, you know.
And in the industry,
that's what they always make you do, you feel me? But the Naomi today.
Different.
You know, I am a mother, first and foremost, at the end of the day.
Snap, snap, snap.
You know, I had taken a break from music for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm still...
Figuring things out,
trying to get my plan together.
Yes.
But I feel like I'm growing into my true self.
Your true self.
And I'm still working on it because it's a work in progress.
Continuously.
But, okay.
Yeah.
But,
cheers to that.
I'm loving life. Okay. I'm loving life right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those who don't know, Naomi has been singing since the age of 13 or 14.
15 professionally,
yes. But she's been singing since she was born. I sing in the shower too, so not the same. Professional, but me, I'm not professional. I've just been doing it. But where did this love for singing? Because you just didn't wake up and start singing.
Yeah.
How did it come? Were you somewhere and you started and you were like, I need to speak, but I need to sing it?
Yeah.
How did it come about?
I mean, I was born and raised in the church.
Oh, nice.
Always went to church. My parents made sure we did. We were involved in the church.
Wow.
And choir especially.
Mm-hmm.
I was a president.
Okay.
Like, but we had this one choir director. Sorry, my allergies.
Oh, sorry.
We had this one choir director. Uh-huh. And he made us sing a solo. Like each person individually. And then we found out that I was a soprano.
And
from there, I would get solos and I would sing. And I love singing.
Uh-huh.
I tried to like write little things.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Was this AME?
Yeah. AME.
You know the vibes.
Come on.
I've been there a few times. But ever since I moved a little... distance has become... I need to go back to God quickly. I go there. Do they have free lunch? Do they have free coffee? They have sometimes?
You know, after Corona, things have changed.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Naomi Wamboy also has an interesting fact. Now, for those, I know you Generation Z people are like, but we millennials used to have something really cool called the BET.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
106. And park after class.
Oh, he taking it way back.
Oh.
You taking it way
they
back.
They don't know nothing. We got to tell them.
They don't know.
Back then, they used to have a competition. Was it like every periodical?
Wilding Out Wednesday.
This is before Nick Canyon started popping our babies, right? This was when he had a restraining order on his balls. But right now, 106 in Park, Wild and Air.
Yeah.
There was a competition.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Wednesdays, they would bring like three artists to come on the show, whatever they would perform, and they would win,
We were talking about BET, the experience. What happened? What was this show? Some people don't know anything about the BET experience. What was 106 in Park?
You know, 106 in Park was that vibe, okay?
Yeah.
That was for us back in the day. That's where we went to listen to music.
That was the coolest spot.
Yes.
Any new artist that came out before America Got Talent.
They were there.
Before, what's this rap? That's where people would come and do it.
All of it.
And you Ladies and gentlemen, you and Kanjo were the first Africans on that platform.
We were the first.
How did that happen?
Africans, you know.
Before Davido, before Wizkid, before all these people, you guys were on 106 in power. Sometimes I see like tabloids talk about BET, this guy's a night. No, I'm not raining on anybody's parade. Yeah. I love Burna Boy. I love all these people.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Chibudi Chibude. I love all of them people who can keep a wife. But what I'm saying was, excuse my English, but you were the first Africans on BET.
We were. It was epic. It was epic. Back then, it was like, you know, people talk to people. They hooked us up. Mm-hmm. You know, Kanja had all the connections. Yeah. Of course. King Kanja.
Shout out to King Kanja, but for no reason. Shout out to King Kanja. We love you, man. I love that hat. He always has it. He looks kingly. He's been Wakanda before Wakanda. Hey. They should have given him a part. I think they cheated on him on that stuff, man. Talking about King Kanja, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know King Kanja, go Google that on YouTube, everywhere. King Kanja, one of the most influential, prolific Afrobeat, Afro superstars. We don't even say Afrobeat no more. Afro superstar. Hey. He's a superstar in his own right.
I mean, how is it? He's doing it. Like me and Kanja, we got connected through like family. Mm-hmm. And he was actually one of the artists like I had collabed with. We did like three songs, actually. Nice, Paradise.
Yeah. Paradise, like, yeah. That's I know. Was Paradise, man.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Okay. Shot in Mombasa.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's a good experience.
Yeah. Then from we've flown, actually me and Kanja have flown, like we did a show in Vegas for 97.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
we go
good.
Way back like four flats.
You know what I'm saying? Now, when you move from there, what other artists, apart from King Kanja, have you been privileged to work with?
You know, like back the day, I started at Calib.
So. No.
What do you mean?
Hey!
Well, I'm an OG.
You're almost making me speak Swahili right now. You were in Italy.
I'm an OG.
Like, California?
People,
no, I'm OG, OG, OG.
Okay,
you did release songs in Calib before? How was that experience? How did that happen?
Yo, it was crazy. You know, like my Uncle Spike.
Okay.
Had connections with like Lemo,
yeah.
Hooked me up with them,
yeah.
And this is back in the day, like okay. When Calib was like popping. You feel me?
And it's still popping in its own way.
Of course, okay, of yes. course. Mm-hmm. But I did a song with Jim Watt. That was the first song that I had actually recorded professionally.
Professionally, correct.
And what was that song? Tuna Katika,
Tuna Katika. I love that song.
You.
Okay.
Yeah, Kenya.
Kenya.
Correct.
Kenya, correct.
Yeah, and then I also did a song with Major.
Yeah.
This is what Major was like.
Coming
you
up.
Know? Yeah.
He was coming up before Landlord and all the other songs he made. Wow.
Yes.
And at this time, ladies and gentlemen, for your unfamiliar, there were two big, powerful music houses. That's where the Dr. Dre of Kenya was.
Okay.
You either had to go with the Red Dragons, which were, or go for DJs, or you go to Cali where the mellow, the vibe, the setback. And just for the reference, around this time, what genre of music was standing out in Africa? Because a lot of people fight me about the facts.
It was gangay.
East, gang-gay. West, South. We were the people making the sound.
Nigerians, nobody even heard of them yet.
At that time, there was no Wizkid.
Right.
Davido was not even in existence, right? Chibudi Chibude was still looking like before ups, before makeup. But these guys don't understand what Genge was at that time. And you were one of the pioneers at that time. You stepped in the industry, and it was tough for you. Having come from States, what was your biggest challenge trying to work with artists back home as an extrovert from another country?
Extrovert, diaspora.
Extrovert.
I mean, like back then, I was like 15.
Yeah.
And actually with Tuna Katika, I won an award, Chaguo Latinis.
Yes.
And even going to receive the award, I couldn't speak Swahili.
And they're looking at you funny?
Yeah. And then, you know, also like Calib, I mean, back in the day, like the industry wanted you to do what was popping at that time.
And it's based on the corporate, or who was he based off?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's not really who I was. You get so it was really hard. I couldn't like relate really to my fans as well.
Because you're trying to be true to yourself, but you also wanna not offend the industry.
Yes. And at the same time, I could sing in Swahili,
correct.
But I couldn't speak it.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of like didn't make it authentic for some of the people.
Yes.
Yeah, because how do you sing something you don't really
you don't know?
That's not your lingo every day.
Yeah.
But you had a run in Kenya. And you came back to States again. You worked with a bunch of nonprofits. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know philanthropic work that this amazing lady does, tell us, share some of your amazing work and experience within the greater Seattle area with philanthropy.
I am an ambassador for One Vibe Africa. Hey, we have Rocco here.
Shout out to our Simon.
Yes.
This is good. And you did a lot of stuff in Seattle. And
I
then...
did. I was also like, I would do like, you know, I was involved in my community.
Yes.
I was involved like before Corona when community.
Yes.
I was involved with the kids, mostly at the computer clubhouse, Intel Computer Clubhouse in Tacoma. I would always involved in church, of course.
Of course, yes.
Also, like going to schools, helping them out with the younger kids. Yeah.
Just wondering. Shout out to the kids, man. Shout out to the kids, by the way. Shout out to the kids. Just wondering. Superstar, first African BET, and philanthropy. How did you like? What inspired you to be giving back to the community? Because I know a bunch of artists. I even try to work with them myself. And philanthropy is not in their DNA. It's either Gucci, Versace, or Modellini, but it's not like giving back.
Yeah.
What touched you? And I've seen your sister too. Shout out to Angie for no reason.
For
no reason. Shout out to Angie. But yeah. What made you, also your family, I've seen this element of philanthropy. What pushed that for you guys?
I will say, you know, it was growing up in the church, honestly. From the time we were, like, couldn't even walk. That is really what we had. It was called YPD, like a youth people's department. We would, and then just being involved in the church, period.
Let it me changes tell you, you, yeah.
Monday, we were at Sisters of Vision, like, it was a women's young girls mentoring group. So we had mentors to mentor us.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, we were at choir practice. Wednesday, we were at usher board. Let me tell you,
you are
Saturday,
living the life.
Saturday, we were, you know, feeding the homeless, but with the young people's department, like, we really, they taught us how, like, giving is the most important thing, you know? It really is in life.
When
you give, you do receive. And it's not about the receiving part, but it's about what giving makes you feel. And it has always made me feel good. Period, point blank. If that's, like, even just giving what I have, like, a couple dollars or something to someone, even though it doesn't make a big difference, but... like, I helped you, you know, and it's not for my personal gain.
I want you to suffer less if I can help it.
Yes.
If I could change your life, because I want my life changed too. And the power of human beings is interaction. And interacting with the right people creates opportunity.
Yeah.
Maybe you got it, but they missed it.
Yeah.
And you empathize. That's a beautiful way
and
to look at it.
Sometimes, you know, like even just me growing up in the States.
Correct.
Having been blessed with parents. Hey, you know, my dad is the president. He's called chairman here in Washington.
Shout out to chairman in Washington for no reason. Shout out to chairman.
He's the Pacific Northwest. President, he's the president of the Pacific Northwest Kenyan community.
Yeah. Ooh, shout out to the chairman all the time.
Yeah. So even like when we were younger, we always had people living in our house. Always. Now these were Kenyans that were coming over who had nothing, no job, no money, no place to live. But
first, either refugees or students or everything. Oh, good.
They would come, they would stay with us and my parents are so giving, especially my mom. Like, that's where I learned it from.
Oh, shout out to mama.
Giving. Yes. But that's one thing they instilled in us and they taught us. Like, it is better to give than to receive. You get.
And the more you give, it opens more of your doors.
It does.
Yes,
it does.
Thank you, man. This is big. Me, I just started into philanthropy like a week ago. So,
a week ago?
Yeah. So I went to Rafiki's. Shout out to Rafiki's restaurant for no reason. They gave me chapati and one of my friends looked like he did not have enough money, so I gave him half of my chapati. So I've been giving out to people a lot.
What?
My philanthropy is starting beginning. Pole. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Naomi went back to Kenya. This is the second time now after you came to America. You did your song. Remember when you did with the Jim Watt? With Kali?
Yeah.
When you went back as a professional media host, media personality, this time when you went, when was this?
This was 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
4 years ago. I moved to Kenya.
You moved to Kenya. When you both moved, you and Angie, or just you?
Angela moved before that.
Okay.
She was there with my mom.
Yes.
My mom has a business there. Mm-hmm. My mom is back and forth.
Yeah.
So I would always be back and forth, like summertime, or now when I graduated, I would like spend like 4 months there, 6 months here.
So you're not like a summer bunny. You were there a whole time bunny, hey, like half
there.
A year bunny.
I was yeah. there. So now this time when I went 4 years ago, I went for a job interview.
And you knocked it off the park. Here you are. We winners over here. Let's go. Let's go. And you ended up working for one of the biggest media houses in Kenya. The name was... Was it Ebru TV? Ebru. Did I say Ebru?
Ebru.
Ebru. Ebru. Ebru. Ebru. Ebru. Ebru TV. Tell me your experience in Ebru TV. How was it, your run in Ebru TV?
I mean, it was a good experience.
You learned quite a bit.
It was fun. I did. Mm-hmm. This was the first time I did, like, you know, TV.
TV, yes.
And, like, talking. And they taught me how to, you know, be able to just think on the spot and go ahead and do it.
Camera on you. Come on. Rolling. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, you know, that was a platform for a lot of other, like, media people who are actually, like, huge in Kenya.
Yes.
But
I'm liking it. And you also...